ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vic and Sade is brought to you by Procter & Gamble's Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now here's Zella Lane. Say, tell me, Zella, who is Crisco's new cookbook designed specially to help?
Every woman who has a family to cook for. Yes, any woman who wants interesting, nourishing meals will find Crisco's new wartime cookbook a real blessing. Recipes for Good Eating, it's called, friends. 64 pages packed with Crisco recipes. Color photographs of delicious foods, and lots of method pictures showing simple cooking tricks. You'll even find space to write in your own recipes. Really, it's one cookbook you can use every day. It's keyed right to wartime shopping conditions. There are suggestions for fixing leftovers, grand Crisco dishes for inexpensive meats, whole sections on filling desserts, another on hot breads. And here's the thing. This cookbook gives you alternate ingredients for recipes in case there are foods you can't buy. Honestly, words just couldn't do justice to this new Crisco cookbook. You'll certainly want one. So, print your name and address clearly. Mail it with 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. Remember now, 10 cents in coin with a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. The offer is only good in the United States, and since you'll have to allow 14 to 18 days for delivery, why don't you write today for Crisco's wartime cookbook? And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, the noonday meal is just over as we enter the small house halfway up on the next block now. We find Vic, Sade, and young Russell in the kitchen lingering at the table and chatting discursively about this, that, and the other thing. The master of the menage is holding forth at the moment, and we hear him saying,
"The mechanical principles back of the operation of your washing machine are as simple as ABC. In the first place, simply reflect that electricity is harnessed to the comparatively simple device of a system of revolving blades, which more than..."
Oh, Vic, I don't care. Willie, why don't you finish up that little dab of tapioca pudding?
Okay.
You don't care how your washing machine works?
No.
I can't repress a feeling of astonishment.
Don't try.
You live with that washing machine. You manipulate its levers, buttons, and controls. You watch the wonders it performs. And yet not the tiniest surge of curiosity rises in your breast.
Just so it works is all that interests me.
But when you touch the electric button, when the sleeping monster comes to triumphant life, when an inanimate object...
What sleeping monster is this?
The wash machine. From a still inanimate piece of wood and metal, it is instantaneously transformed into a living, throbbing servant, eager to do your will.
Let's talk about something else.
I can't repress a feeling of astonishment.
Fine. Anybody want to hear about Brutus Johnson sliding into home plate this morning on his stomach?
No.
Say, I can draw you a simple diagram showing the mechanical principles back of the operation of your wash machine that a child could understand.
No, you can't either. Yes, you do this to me almost every day anymore. You get mad because I'm not interested in the door.
What did you say, son?
The front door just slammed shut.
The wind.
What makes the wind work?
Beg pardon?
Can you draw me a simple diagram showing what makes the wind work?
None is so blind as he who will not see.
Now, I'll tell, O'Hurl.
Sadie!
Well, it wasn't the wind.
Sadie! In the kitchen, Harley?
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Hello.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Oh.
Something funny has transpired?
Did you expect Uncle Fletcher to hear that?
What I expect and what I don't expect is pretty much my own concern, I believe.
Yeah. Coming in the front door, if you please.
Must have big business up his sleeve.
Yes.
Sadie, honey, I want to apologize for rushing in like this, but circumstances have forced me. Why, I've intruded on your dinner.
Oh, not at all, not at all, not at all, Uncle Fletcher. We're finished.
Go ahead, eat up. I'll go stalk in the living room.
Where to?
Afternoon, Vic.
Afternoon.
Glorious day.
Yeah.
You feeling first rate, are they, Russell?
Feeling great.
Leaving for the schoolhouse directly, I expect.
The school's out for the summer vacation.
Yes, works out that way sometimes. I'll go stalk in the living room till you're through, Sadie.
We are through.
All right, take it easy.
Mm.
Uncle Fletcher, you said something about circumstances forcing you to do something.
It's a favor I stopped past to ask.
Oh?
Happen to be entertaining company this afternoon, are they?
Why, no.
Speak up and say so if you are.
I haven't any plans for this afternoon. Of course, I never know when somebody might drop in. Why?
Turn me down quick as a flash and I won't be offended, Sadie. But I wondered if I could kick off my shoes and catch a few winks of sleep in one of your beds.
You mean today, tonight?
I mean now.
Oh?
This minute.
Well...
I want to kick off my shoes, loosen my collar, and grab a little sleep. If you've got any objections and it won't be convenient, just say the word and I won't be offended. Good afternoon, Vic.
Good afternoon, I'm sure. Help yourself to the bananas.
Are you Russell?
I'm Dandy.
Leaving for the schoolhouse directly, I expect.
The school's out. This is summer vacation.
Call it over in your mind, Sadie, honey. If there's any objections or the arrangement is inconvenient in any way, shape, or form, simply say so. I won't be offended.
Why, you're welcome as can be to take a nap upstairs, Uncle Fletcher.
I hesitated to go home and catch a snooze because my landlady, Miss Cullors, is having in half a dozen women. They're going to embroidery or crochet or some nitwit female business. Likely gossip and guffaw and squeal to where a man couldn't any more drop off to sleep than a numbskull rabbit.
You're welcome as can be to take a nap upstairs.
Why are you taking a nap this time of the day?
How's that, Vic, honey?
Why are you taking a nap this time of the day?
Keep quiet just a second, Russell. Your papa asked me a question.
I never said nothing. I never even opened my trap.
Never mind.
You want to know why I'm taking a nap this time of day, are they, Vic?
Yeah.
I have an idea you people would be curious on that point.
Were you up late last night arguing with the guys that skulk around the courthouse yard?
How's that, Vic, honey?
Did you tarry till all hours last night, chewing the rag with the loafers down the courthouse yard?
How's that, Rick, honey?
I bet you're tired and sleepy today because last night you and Michigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan, and the lads got in some heated controversy on politics.
How's that, Rick, honey?
Oh, Murdy.
Oh, Ish, what do you care? Uncle Fletcher, any second you feel like it, trot right along upstairs and lay down. I think you'd be most comfortable in our bedroom. It's cooler in there.
Rick! And Sadie.
Sitting right here with our teeth in our mouths.
And you too, Russell, honey.
Yeah?
I need to catch a few winks of sleep this afternoon because...
Yes?
I am working tonight.
Oh, really? Yeah. Uncle Fletcher. Where are you working, Uncle Fletcher?
How's that, Russell, honey?
Where are you working?
How's that, Russell, honey?
When you say you're working tonight, do you mean you're working...
How's that, Russell, honey?
Oh, shucks.
Leave our son run down to the office, Sadie.
Go ahead.
Vic, Sade, and Russell, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I am working tonight at the Interurban Station.
Well.
I'm substituting for the ticket agent.
Mm-hmm.
And substituting for Ernie Fackler.
Goodness.
I expect that you were
one... Vic, honey?
I expect that you were
one... Vic, honey?
Let it go. Forget it.
You want to catch up on your sleep, huh, Uncle Fletcher? So you'll be wide awake tonight for your work? You want to get in
bed? That's right, Sadie, honey. You grasp the point.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't plan to entertain callers this afternoon?
No.
Vic will be away at the office.
Uh-huh.
And Russell will be attending school.
School's out. School's out last...
Vic away at the office and Russell off attending school. Very likely it'll be reasonable quiet around the house.
Oh, sure. I'll see that it's quiet.
Fine.
Go ahead.
I'm handling the dead man's trick at the Interurban Station tonight.
What's that?
Tell her, Russell.
Well, I don't know what it is.
The dead man's trick, Sadie, honey, is the 8-hour period between 2 o'clock at night and 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, uh-huh.
Railroad talk.
Huh.
Dead man's trick. Mm-hmm. Lots of fellows steer shy of the dead man's trick. From 2 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock in the morning is a mighty lonesome 8-hour period. Robbers and burglars and all like that, you know, is liable to be at large, prowling around.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the wind and the snow and the sleet howling outside.
Well, this is the month of June.
Beg pardon, Russell?
There won't be any wind and snow and sleet howling outside tonight.
Little boys know more about railroad matters than the grown-ups, are they?
Oh, I'm only saying this is the month of June and there won't be
Never
any...
Never mind, Russell. You sell tickets, hmm?
Sell tickets. Wear a green visor. Of course, I'll be in charge of the Interurban Station. Yeah, I'll sell tickets.
Who to? They don't run any Interurbans after midnight.
You know all about railroads, are they, Russell?
I know there's no interurban service after midnight.
Isn't there a little tad around here close that's taking a chance on being late for school?
Hmm.
Yes, Sadie, honey, I sell tickets.
Who do?
Stop it.
I sell tickets. I wear a green visor. I give out information. I see to it that little boys don't tamper with the peanut machine.
What little boy will be around tampering with peanut machines at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I told you to stop that.
Okay, Mom.
Youngsters these days, they know all there is to know.
I'll say.
Well, I'll saunter on up to bed.
Sure, you bet. And I'll see you're not disturbed.
I'll just kick off my shoes and loosen my collar.
When do you go on duty, Uncle Fletcher?
I'm working the dead man's trick. 2 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock in the morning.
How long are you going to sleep?
Till it's time to leave for work.
You mean you're going to... But you don't have to leave for work till 1:30 or so.
That's right, Vic.
1:30 or so tomorrow morning.
That's right.
But that's... What is it, Gov? 13 or 14 hours from now?
Russell, honey, I don't believe I care to dispute with you on various matters. You're a little boy, while I'm a grown
Mom,
up.
Mom, he's going upstairs and sleep 13 or 14 hours.
And what's that to you?
But he calls it catching a little snooze.
You've had just a trifle too much to say this noon, Russell.
Well, I do think Uncle Fetcher's laboring under a mistake, say. He's lost sight of the fact that he's not due at the Interurban Station for many hours.
You've lost sight of the fact that it's Uncle Fletcher's own private business.
Okay.
If I may be excused, I believe I'll saunter on up to bed now.
Go right ahead.
Good night, Russell.
Good night. It's noon.
How's that, Russell?
Nothing. Good night.
Good night, Vic.
Night, night. Pleasant dreams.
Good night, Sadie, honey.
Good night, Uncle Fletcher. Have a dandy sleep.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now here's Zella Lake.
You know, cooking habits are sometimes pretty hard to change. For instance, there's this friend of my mother's who firmly believed nobody could make a good cake without butter. So I decided to make her one with Crisco. That way she could see for herself. See that the flavor of Crisco cakes is every bit as good as butter, to say nothing of that velvety texture and wonderful lightness. Well, this old-time butter user got the surprise of her life when she tasted that Crisco cake. All she could say was, "Zella, you can depend my cakes will be made with Crisco from now on." Well, Crisco is the answer to delicious cakes. It's ration-free, so baking is no problem. And compare the cakes you get. They're so moist, light as a feather. Really, Crisco has a cooking secret that gives lighter cakes than you get with any other shortening, even your most expensive. Try Crisco for a cake yourself. I'll tell you, try one of the delicious recipes in Crisco's new wartime cookbook I mentioned before. Recipes for Good Eating, it's called. Just mail your name and address and 10 cents in coin with a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio.
And don't forget to listen to Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. National Broadcasting Company.